show us how to find that great joy that the angel talked about. So here are those three threads on the screen. And we're going to start off with the shepherds. Now remember, at the birth of Christ, there were shepherds. In Luke chapter 2, we just read that this was the city of David. David was a shepherd. And David was promised that one of his descendants would arise as a eternal king or shepherd for Israel. And that was Christ that was promised. The other thing to point out about the shepherds, I was reading this week, and you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, these historical figures of the Old Testament were shepherds and revered. But by this time in the history of the Jewish people, the Pharisees and the religious leaders really looked down on the shepherds. So much, they viewed them as the same as thieves. They said, if you ever buy something from a shepherd, whether it's milk or wool, it's probably stolen. I mean, they just hated the shepherds. But these are the same shepherds that were raising the flocks that would provide the firstborn lambs for the sacrifices. And in Matthew chapter 2, in the Christmas story, it also talks about how Jesus was that one that would be born in Bethlehem, the shepherd of Israel. And then we have the angels here, this heavenly host that lit up the night sky, sharing the good news. And then finally, we see that the babe was wrapped in, other translations say, swaddling cloths or white linen, and he was laid in a manger. Now, I put the word stone here because from what archaeology tells us, that mangers, unlike the one that we have up front here this morning, were not made out of wood typically. They were made out of stone. It was actually hewn, this bowl portion on the top that they would fill with straw or hay for the animals to eat. And so it was a safe place for them to lay the baby. They wrapped him in these swaddling cloths. So you each have a piece of this white linen cloth this morning. Who knows what the actual dimensions were and if it came from Joann Fabric. Back were Mary and Joseph. But anyway, here Joseph and Mary were swaddling Jesus in what they called these swaddling bands or linen cloth. And it was quite the common practice in that day to take the newborn and clean them up, and then they would rub them down with salt as a disinfectant, kind of, and then they would wrap them in these swaddling bands all tight, just like we would swaddle a baby today. So there's Jesus, and he's laid in a stone manger, waiting for the shepherds to come find him. He's played hide and seek. So what I found was that the shepherds, the angels, the linen, actually, we can follow those through the life of Christ. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. In this passage of John 10, Jesus talks about how there's bad shepherds and good shepherds. The bad shepherds are the ones that are just paid to do their job, and the first sign of trouble, they're out of here. But Jesus says, I'm not like that. I'm the good shepherd. I'm so good, in fact, that I will even lay down my life for the flock that I'm protecting. And he's laid down his life for us. And then on the cross, Jesus quoted Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that was written by a shepherd, David. The very next psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd. But the one right before that, on the cross, Jesus quoted the words of his ancestor who was a shepherd. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, you might wonder, where were the angels in the story of the crucifixion? Oh, they were there. They just weren't on this earth. In the garden, when it starts to look bad and one of the disciples whips out a sword and slices off Malchus' ear, and the guard that had come to get him for this trial, Jesus said, put away your sword. Now, don't you know that my Father could give me a dozen legions of angels if I wanted them right now? And Scripture doesn't say this, but those same angels that greeted the shepherds that night, singing the welcome of the newborn king, those same angels were still in heaven, and I can only imagine that God was restraining them from attending to the son that they had just proclaimed his birth a few years earlier. As the Father, as the angels are peering over the portals of heaven, looking at God the Father, looking at the Son, looking at God the Father, looking at the Son, say, God, are you going to let this happen? And with a tear in his eye and a restraining glance from the Father, he says, yes, this is going to happen this way. And the angels were kept silent when Christ was taken to be crucified. And then the point that really grabbed me was another Joseph. Jesus' father, Joseph, had died, but at this point, another Joseph took the body of Christ, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a stone tomb. The body that was swaddled earlier was now a grown man in a stone tomb, wrapped in linen again. And then the story doesn't end there. When the women came to find him at the tomb in the resurrection, there was an angel, just one this time, maybe two, we're not sure. Just a couple angels, not the whole big crew this time, but they said, hey, look, he's not here, he's risen. The angels were present there. And it says that when the ladies got this news from the angel, they ran with great joy. That same phrase that occurs when the angels announce Christ's birth, great joy, these women ran back to tell the disciples with great joy. And when John and Peter arrived at the tomb, what did they find? They found that that linen was empty. It was simply lying there, empty. It was no longer the swaddled babe. He was the risen Christ. But the story doesn't end there. We know that Jesus ascended to heaven. And there in heaven, we read in Revelation, at the end of the book, what life will be like in heaven. And it says, there's this paradox between the lamb and the shepherd. Jesus was both. He was the lamb that would take away the sins of the world, John the Baptist told us, but he was also the shepherd. And so in Revelation chapter 7, it says, there's the lamb seated on the throne that would be our shepherd. And he would lead us by cool waters. But then we sing Revelation chapter 19 as a song some mornings. And here again is both the angels and the linen. That angels that welcomed and greeted the shepherds with that good news will return to the earth. They're going to be dressed out a little differently when they come back. They're going to be dressed for battle as they're led by Jesus the Christ, that's wearing a robe that says, the translations say, dipped or sprinkled in blood. And when I hear that, it really grates on my sensibilities. Wait a minute, a robe dipped in blood or sprinkled with blood, what does that mean? But if you imagine that linen that was wrapped around his body in the tomb would have been soaked with blood. And so here comes the triumphant, promised, eternal King Jesus, the Son of David, the Son of God, coming back with a robe that has some blood stains on it that are the signal, the representation that he has the authority to conquer Satan and all the wickedness that has been allowed to roam on this earth in his absence. And so he's coming back in a robe dipped with blood. And so again, we can trace these three things, the shepherds, the angels, and the linen. But I have to wonder, why do sheep need a shepherd? I mean, there's all these animals in creation. What is it about sheep that really needs someone to be there for them? And I read this story recently, I can't make this up. In 2005, there was a story in the news in Turkey. Some modern shepherds who were charged with the care of the entire village's sheep. The worth of the flock was about $100,000. Multiple families had an average of about 20 sheep each in this flock. It was a very important, very special flock for the village. But the shepherds got hungry, and they went for breakfast. Now, I can imagine that they're sitting somewhere that they can watch the flock, but they're kind of, their back is turned, they're eating their breakfast, and all of a sudden, one young lamb wanders off over a cliff. And it wasn't just, it was followed by another lamb and another and another. And as the shepherds turn around, finishing their breakfast with their English muffins still in their mouth, they're watching these sheep dive off the edge of this cliff until 1,500 sheep had followed this one over the cliff. Now, the silver lining here is that only about 450 of them died, actually, because once they had 450 sheep kind of piled up, it kind of broke the fall of the rest of the other sheep going over the cliff, which is funny, but it's not really. So the reason I'm sharing this is, you know, why do sheep need a shepherd? Because we're going to wander off and get in trouble without a shepherd, right? Well, this is not news to anyone in Bible times anyway. They knew this character of sheep was to wander off and find trouble. And 600 years before Christ was born, Isaiah wrote this very same thing. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus, again, this paradox, he's the lamb, he's the shepherd. He's the lamb that was slain for our sins, but he's also the shepherd, the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. We have gone astray. And Jesus, when he looked at the crowds, he says he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus knew this. He had the heart of a shepherd. And you have to wonder, why did God use this shepherd metaphor so much? It was part of their culture, but he wanted us to realize our relationship with God is like a sheep with the shepherd. And there he is. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And then David. David, 3,000 years ago, says, "The Lord is my shepherd." David got it. We mentioned this last week. That's why David was so special, because he was a shepherd. He understood what it meant to care for others, and he understood what it meant when Samuel the prophet told him that from his descendants would rise an eternal king who would shepherd Israel. David completely got it. And he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, Luke 15, recently we read this on another Sunday morning, is a fantastic passage that talks about where Jesus, we talk about pure joy this morning. Here's an example of joy. Joy from the perspective of Jesus. In Luke 15, it says, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' And I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." This is the heart of the one who was born at Christmas. With the greeting coming to the shepherds, little did they know that they were welcoming their own shepherd in Bethlehem there. And there's this element of joy. The shepherd rejoices when he finds a lost sheep. The shepherds in the Christmas story rejoice and they praise God when they realize that this is the promised one. We can also define joy in what it's not. And in Revelation, this passage I referenced earlier, it says, "There will be hunger no longer, nor thirst anymore, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of waters of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Because in this life, some of us just aren't okay. And there's hunger, there's thirst, there's tears, There's the heat, the work of life. But what is joy? Joy is the absence of those things, where in heaven we won't have those concerns any longer. But we can focus on our good shepherd, who I think is really interesting that there's this little callback here to Psalm 23. And here and it says in heaven that the shepherd will guide us to the springs of the waters of life. So as we come back to the Christmas passage, and we read it now, thinking about that linen, and the angels and the shepherds, and who exactly it was that the shepherds were greeting that day, as we read this passage again, I think it will have new wonder with fresh eyes. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Now we see the dimensions, that every word that was recorded in Scripture weaves together through here with the life of Christ. And we see what God was really trying to tell us, that He's our shepherd and He's our Savior. And that is how we can find for ourselves pure joy this Christmas season, to share that joy that the shepherds had that day when they were greeted by the angels. So I want to ask Paul to come up and do our offering and announcements. And at the end of the service, once everything's done, up here up front, we will have people ready to pray with you. If you are missing that joy in your life and you want to know Christ as your Savior and Shepherd, we would love to pray with you to introduce you to the one that the angels announced that night.